Fred Film Radio, International Film Festival, Rotterdam, Netherlands.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2018 International Film Festival, Rotterdam, and I'm very pleased to be joined by director Aditya Vikram Sengupta, who's presenting his latest work, Janaki. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
So the first question is kind of just the obligatory question. Would you like to introduce your film and tell our listeners what it's about?
Janaki means firefly in Bengali. And the film is based on the stories that my grandmother used to tell me when I was a child. And when she was dying, she was in coma for 4 days. And I used to keep wondering what she could be thinking because it was very intriguing for me. And after she died, I was very affected by her death. And I used to get these really vivid nightmares and dreams about her. And Janaki became an amalgamation of the stories that she told me and all these dreams that I've been getting in with an attempt to articulate a sense of loss that I feel from inside.
Right. I sort of watched the movie and I felt it very powerful because I lived through a similar experience. And that's why maybe I'm kind of wondering as well, were you also trying to see what she might have been feeling and how she might have been experiencing life or the limbo that she was in that situation?
In a way, but I'm sure that she probably would have been seeing something else. But it was just my way of coming to terms with things because I was very deeply connected and attached with her. And as a child, when I would hear her stories, I would have a very innocent way of constructing and imagining these stories in a very fairy tale-ish way.
Right.
And even in the film, if you see, it's all very simple and it's like almost like a fairy tale. Yeah. And when I started dreaming about her later after she died, I used to wake up with these feelings that I don't feel otherwise. And these feelings were so strong that it was very difficult for me to articulate this feeling in words. And the only way I could recreate it was by recreating the world of my dreams.
Is that also part of the reason why you don't use a lot of dialogue?
Yes, in this film, yes, because I don't hear a lot of dialogues in my dreams. They're, you know, just a few words here and there, or just very basic dialogues, or basic conversations that I overhear. But nothing substantial. So for me, images and sound are extremely important. And sound is also as important as the image for me. So I don't isolate it or put it in a priority list that images and scenes are first and then sound is second. So for me, when I was making this film, I needed to visit locations over and over again and, you know, create the right image with the right sound and an image that would feel correct for that particular feeling that I wanted to express. And so it was a very organic way of constructing the images, and it was very spontaneous. It wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like constructed in a way that, okay, fine, now I'm going to paint a picture for this and let me think how I want to do it. Okay. So it wasn't like that. It was more spontaneous.
But isn't that challenging?
Not really. No, because I come from a painting background, maybe, it happens very naturally with me.
And, of course, the narrative is a little disjointed now. What was the reason for that?
I think the narrative is disjointed, but somewhere it's also very coherent. And I feel that dreams are the only thing that makes you feel, I mean, brings out the honest self in you, you know? And dreams are like, you know, the subconscious creating a film out of absurd characters and absurd situations. And, you know, it all comes together and it doesn't make sense. But it gives you a feeling which is so powerful that you don't feel otherwise. Yeah. And that feeling is so true and so honest and so pure. And I choose to give in to that feeling and respect that feeling and understand where it's coming from and why it's coming from and try and recreate it.
Is that also somehow connected to memory?
Of course.
Yeah.
Very, I mean, memories and nostalgia is a very integral part of that.
But then, seen as it's so personal, how do you include, let's say, the actors in such a personal vision?
I think by talking to them And by explaining to them what I shared with my grandmother and, you know, what I want to do in every scene. And, yeah, so it takes a lot of talking and discussions and workshops and then going to that space and improvising over there because, you know, the space has something else to offer already.
Yeah.
And you need to adapt and change and improvise according to that.
I was also asking about memory because sometimes when I remember things, I kind of remember them like a movie. So I don't know whether this medium has affected the way in which we see, we remember things, or we even imagine things that...
You know, there are lots of times when I dream like a film, and I think like a film, but I don't know whether a film comes from there or... The memory is affected by films because, so I don't know whether it's like an egg and chicken situation.
Yeah, exactly. That's right, yeah. Actually. Because, you know, cinema might have existed before the invention of cinema itself. But you do have the cinema in the movie. So I was wondering what, like, there's a moment in the film where the characters are in the movie theater. So I was wondering about that, the significance of this particular moment.
That was significant because my grandmother had acted in one film. And she did a very small role and she was very proud of it. And when my mother got married to my father, that, I mean, they had to, they couldn't mention it because in my father's family, it was considered a taboo to be acting in films and things like that.
Really?
So.
Why is that?
It's just a cultural thing.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. And in fact, my father was offered a role by Satyajit Ray. For a film called The Adversary,
right.
But which he couldn't take up because of my grandmother.
Oh.
And which is why the film is, the theatre is relevant.
Very good. I want to go back to something you said about sound being very important, and especially because in some moments the sounds themselves, like not necessarily music, do construct something that is very musical. And I don't know whether... And I'm putting that together with the actual pacing of the film. I find that there's something musical about it as well.
Yeah, I think it's musical. I think most of the things that I do is very musical. And I think even art and fine arts is very musical. And, you know, because I've been a musician since childhood.
Yeah.
And I've been trained in classical piano. And so I've always... you know, there's a sense of rhythm in whatever I do, or there's an attempt to achieve this balance and rhythm and this form of balanced dance in whatever I do.
Yeah.
And so whether it's film or it's a painting, you know, in terms of colors and density of colors, you just want a kind of rhythm in it. And in films, I think it's beautiful to be constructing music because there's sound and there's images and there's movement and, you know, you can, you're basically playing with time in every shot and how long you hold a shot for and when do you cut and how do you cut. So everything together, you know, they're like musical notes and how you kind of just, you know, balance them and you create this one big piece.
Again, like talking about the actual narrative structure of the film, I feel like this is a film that kind of an audience can interact with and kind of come up with their own meanings. Now, is this something that you're interested in as a filmmaker?
It's definitely not... the intention is not initially to make a film which is open-ended and people will interpret, but the nature of the film is such that it lends itself to different interpretations. And that's the beauty of dreams because, I mean, you know, I'm trying to bring people close to something which is so personal to me. It's not possible that I give them an exact flavor of what I'm feeling, you know. So it'll only be around those senses and, you know, and they'll all feel different in a different manner. They'll all interpret in a different way. But I think the overall feeling will remain the same.
Do you think that in dreams, when we dream, we only understand the story of the film after the dream, like when we wake up, and while we dream, we don't really know what's happening?
There are times when you wake up with these strange feelings. You feel this immense sadness, and you don't know why you're feeling sad, and you don't even remember the dream.
Uh-huh.
And it's a kind of sadness that you don't feel otherwise. You know, the nature of that, the quality of that sadness is very different.
Right.
And so I feel that dreams you know, it's a tool that is created by the body and the subconscious to attack your soul directly, you know, and which we kind of ignore in our day-to-day lives, and we don't really realize all these feelings that are buried in ourselves.
Well, thank you very much. It was a great conversation. I really enjoyed it. Thanks a lot for joining us. And I remind our listeners that your film is called Jonaki, and that this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.